ladies. It's my privilege to be with you again, to be in God's Word together with you. Let me please open us in prayer and we'll get started. Our Father, how grateful we are whenever we gather around your holy and precious Word. We are so thankful to have it. Lord, what a treasure and wonderful thing it is for us. And we pray that you would guide us by your Spirit, that we would accurately and correctly garner the truth that is found in it and get it applied to our own hearts and minds. And Father, that we would grow in grace and grow in the love to thee and in Christ's likeness. Please bless our time together. Bless each of the ladies that are here and those in the sound of my voice. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the life of a Christian we've talked about is a changed life. And it's 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone's being in Christ, he's a new creation. They're a new person. Ephesians 2:15. Titus 3:5 talks about regeneration of the person and so forth. As this different person, a change occurs inside of us. And upon change, we think and live differently than those of the fallen world. And we should ask ourselves also about that. Why in particular is that so? Well, I'm going to start in Romans 8. And if you're familiar with Romans 8, you know that Romans 8 is about the Holy Spirit. In fact, Romans 8, 9, I wasn't going there, tells us that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And he says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, notice it says of Christ, that he does not belong to him. Because we're going to talk tonight about Christ enabling us in this world to be something really of a supernatural nature that people cannot understand. We are a phenomena in that sense in our relationship to Jesus Christ. But just notice, if you will, back in verse 4, chapter 8, verse 4, that he talks about the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We function differently. Now, the Hebrews tried to keep the laws of God and could not. They failed miserably because they were trying to keep it according to the flesh. But here you see, because the Holy Spirit resides within us, and here called the Spirit of Christ, it enables us in many marvelous ways. He goes on to say, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We have a different mindset. And he goes on to say, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit, notice this, is life, and with that is vitality and peace. And that fits in with where we are tonight in our study in Philippians. If we skip all the way down to verse 11, he says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, now think of the power involved in that, raised Christ from the dead, dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Do you have any idea? I hope you do, and I'm sure you do, how wonderful it is that we have the indwelling of God Almighty within us. Because of the change that is in us that has come about as we have embraced Christ and as he has worked in our heart and made us these new creatures in Jesus Christ. I was reminded again of 1 John 5:4, which tells us that whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So our faith with the work of the Spirit of God in our heart. You talk about a winning team and a glorious team. It is that which affects everything about us, our attitudes, our ideas, our behaviors, our focus, and all of that away from a self-centered life that we would otherwise lead without Christ. And of course, we would be living in spiritual blindness because it gives life again to our mortal bodies. So the Christian is an oddity against the prevailing system of this world. And you should have a sense about you of knowing that you don't exactly fit in with all the stuff that's going on. And the world, as the world moves deeper and deeper into antagonistic darkness against God, you should feel more and more uncomfortable about that, but more peaceful at the same time because you have Jesus Christ. Now, let me go to Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to back up because they all fit together. I'm going to start in verse 10 and read through our verse tonight, which is verse 13. Paul says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means and also how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." And then our verse tonight. "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." What a powerful verse. Now, I remind you, we're viewing sanctification. And that, of course, is that living the Christian life as God's new creation and growing more and more into His likeness. And we have been commanded in the context to rejoice in Christ back in verse 4 of chapter 4, and not to be anxious about anything in verse 6, and focusing on what is true and honorable and right and pure in verse 8. Everything of this, of course, is all contrary to everything else that's going on around us. We are like a fish swimming upstream. But here we are, filled with the Holy Spirit, being guided by that. And as I just read a moment ago in Romans 8, it brings us peace in the midst of the storms of life. So in our text, Paul is our example. When he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," we are reminded in 1 Corinthians 11:1 that he says, "Follow my example." Why? As I follow Christ. In other words, God gave us the Apostle Paul as an example of a man that is changed, as a man that is on the right track, of a person truly to follow. Now, ultimately, we follow Christ, but we follow Paul only because he follows Christ. And a good theme, I have said, for chapter 4 is a mindset that Christ is our sufficiency, just as Paul exemplifies. "I can do all things through Christ." Back in verse 12, he had told us, "I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." Now, every one of us that are here have a thermostat in our home. And you think about that, the value of that thermostat, because in the middle of July, when it's 109 degrees outside, you got your thermostat. We set ours on about 75, and it's 75 inside. So I'm just fine in there. And then sometimes in January, it gets down to 25 or whatever here. Unusual, but it does. But you know what? The thermostat's still on 75 inside the house. Well, you see, what this is saying with Paul, whether I have abundance or whether I have nothing, I've got a thermostat inside of me. Do you follow that? It's a spiritual thermostat where he is resting whatever is going on around him. He is resting in Jesus Christ. He is resting with the Spirit of God that dwells in him. He knows that all things are well because God is still on the throne. He is still the Almighty King of glory, and everything in that sense couldn't be any better. Now, he says here that he has learned. We said that means to be instructed by experience. And God does do that, doesn't he? He takes us at times through difficult waters and trials. And sometimes in our journey, we think, well, God has abandoned me, but he hasn't. He takes us through those difficult times. And we learn from each of those. I have learned through all of the experiences of my life, and I know you have too. And the focus and rest is always by this, he calls the secret, and that is the secret. The focus and rest is upon the Lord. That's the secret. And the world doesn't have that secret. What do they fall back upon? Well, often it's alcohol or drugs or chasing foolish dreams and foolish ideas that will all fail because they don't sustain. But God Almighty is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he has everything in his grip. Hallelujah. And so in verse 13, we read here, of course, that I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is a simple but incredibly powerful verse, and it's a verse that's often been abused, hasn't it? Some of the theologically inaccurate people have taken this to all kinds of ideas that are not existing here. They're taking it out of context and in that sense making something out of it that it isn't. This doesn't mean that you and I can go downtown and we decide, well, you know what, I'm going to test this. I can do all things. I'm going to jump off the Tower of the Americas and see if I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It would not be wise, and that's not what's intended here. That's a silly illustration, but it makes the point. What is Paul talking about in this context? He's talking about contentment, isn't he? The all things that he's talking about is that his circumstances don't direct or move his heart around all over the place. So as the Old Testament says, of the wicked, they're like the troubled sea. They're just constantly, the waves are crashing in. They're constantly in distress. They're constantly troubled. There's never peace. There's never calm. But Paul knows that his situations come from God. And here he is sitting in prison. He's doing without. He's, humanly speaking, in a place of misery. But he also knows that he's been serving Christ in the process. And that's what's landed him in prison. A terrible situation in human terms. A place no person wants to be. But the sovereign God put him there. And Paul knows this. Now, there are troubles that we can produce for ourselves. People do that every day, don't they? A lot of foolishness goes on in the world. And foolish behavior, sinful behavior, cause and bring difficulties and trials into people's life. But it is as a result of them not doing what's right. But here Paul is in prison for doing what's right. It's God's will that he's there. And so this is a comfort to Paul. Now think about that. That seems like an oxymoron. But it's a comfort to Paul. It's a comfort to Paul for being there and gives him contentment by the direction, I'm sure, of the Spirit of God within him, that he is in the center, as it were, of God's will. He's been doing what he's been doing and placed there on the purpose, the very purpose of God, and being tested there, and that others also would be encouraged and strengthened, as we talked about last time, down through the years. Can you imagine how many people have been blessed from reading this account in their difficulties and finding peace with God and understanding, because this has always been the lot of God's people. And this is a comfort that we know where we are is because that's where God wants us. Make sense? Romans 8:28 again, isn't it? And it's a huge issue. If my situation is humanly ugly and it's resulted for me living for Christ, I can take confidence that God has a greater purpose in what's happening to me. We know He'll never leave us or forsake us because He promised that. And even as verse 12 states about learning, God is using and instructing the situation in our circumstance. Now think of it this way. Now I'm going to ask this, sounds like a really, if you ask anybody else other than people that know Christ, it would really be difficult for them. But would you rather be vacationing, now I'm going to be silly for a minute, would you rather be vacationing at Sandals Resort, you've probably seen those advertisements, in St. Vincent as one having no knowledge or no relation to Christ, or a true relation to Christ locked up in a terrible prison knowing that God for His purposes put you there? Did you get that question? Sandals, you're sipping on I'll call it a lemonade, all right? Sitting on the beach. These are the good times, right? Or locked up in prison on the one, Christless. But on the other, in the ugly place, the Lord Jesus is there with you in your heart by spirit, because you know Him. Which would you rather be? Hold your answer and we'll come back to it. But Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You begin to see the light shining out of that? Paul had, but not only Paul, all who belonged to him, a spiritual undergirding, an omnipotent, invisible means of support. And so do you, so do I. And this is why, through the years, you think of, I don't know if any of you have ever looked at Fox's Book of Martyrs. Incredible things that Christians have gone through. And the terrible things, but Christ and God was with them. And most importantly, where are they now? Where are they now? This whole situation that we're in is temporary, isn't it? It's vanity of vanities. It's vanity of vanities, says Solomon. One of my favorite verses is Galatians 2:20, which I think you know says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Isn't that a wonderful verse of Scripture? And if you think again of our church theme verse, Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him, and that knowledge is more than just information that we would take in and facts and data, but it says, and the fellowship of His suffering, because it requires that peace for us to have that secret understanding and that secret knowledge that Paul is talking about here. And so in verse 13 again, he says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Paul's been in prison 5 years. We can't even begin to imagine the great difficulties physically, mentally, spiritually, I'm sure even emotional struggles. But here he is in this text, I believe, primarily referring to physical things, things not natural for us to endure, and certainly not to exercise contentment, acceptance, peace, and joy, and even appreciation. Even appreciation. When you were growing up, your parents taught you not to waste your life. Mine did anyway. And you know, I think every parent has some sort of a speech like that. And there's different definitions of what that means to waste your life. But the idea behind it is to do things that would turn out for your best. If we're not careful, we can think like the preacher over east of us over there in that big church, your best life now. But you see, your best life, and is always this, that I know Jesus Christ, that he dwells in me, that no matter what is going on, and that's what Paul is proving, that is the best life. Now, the best life for the Christian, as far as physically and joyfully, is to come. And that should lay a beam across all the other stuff that's going on at any time in our life. That's why in Titus, Paul talks about the coming of Christ being our blessed hope. And that is also always looming before us. This stuff is just temporary, in other words. It's just temporary. I want you to, if you would, turn to Isaiah. And probably you're familiar with this verse of Scripture. I have thought of it many times. Believe me, I have. Isaiah 40. And look at verse 29. It says, he gives strength to the weary. Of course, he's talking about God. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord. Now that waiting idea is the idea of faith. It's your continual faith in him. No matter what's going on at the present, those who have faith in the Lord will gain new strength. Their situation is only temporary. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. All of those things are promised to those who love him. And we can say that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, and I can't think of anything more horrific than what we read at the end of Hebrews 11. After he's gone through, this is the hall of faith, you may be familiar with that, and all the things that all the people that are recorded here have endured in the name of God by faith, that they had to go through, that they were called upon to do. And then when he gets to the very end, he lists a bunch of nameless people by starting off by saying, therefore do not, excuse me, I'm in chapter 10. It'd help if I get in the right place. It says that women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. It says they were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men, and we could add women there, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all of these, having gained approval through their faith, in other words, they were showing by what they endured and how they lived and how they overcame it through Christ who strengthened them, that they had true saving faith. And here they are recorded in God's word. And it says in verse 40, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. God had a plan for them, a future, and we know where they are again now. One of the key issues to always recognize from all of these things that are in the scriptures is that things are supposed to be tough now. They're supposed to be difficult. This is not, we're not on the broad way that leads to death. We're on the narrow way, but it leads to life. And I'm reminded that, you know, Paul himself said in Acts 14:22 that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom. What was true for him is true for us. People turn one direction or the other when hard times come. They either turn away from God and throw in the towel, or they turn to God. At the end of John 6, many of our Lord's disciples left him because of the things that he said. They didn't feel comfortable with them. And the Lord asked the disciples, will you too go away? And they said, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. That right there means everything. Where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The health question, would you rather be vacationing in Sandals Resort or without a relation to Christ, or having a... Now, I'm not saying everybody goes to Sandals Resort doesn't have a relation with Christ. Please don't think that. I'm just making a comparison here. Or would you rather be in prison and you have a relation with Christ? I hope you'll give the answer to the latter there. If that's where Christ wants me to be, I would rather be in prison. Now, I don't want to go to prison, don't get me wrong, but you understand what I'm saying. The issue is having Christ. And as we said earlier, or the last time, we abandon our circumstances to Christ. Why? He's God. He knows our situation. There's no surprises with him. We can trust him. And even in the most difficult conditions, we can have contentment because Christ is our sufficiency. Let me close this quickly in prayer, and then you can go and do the things you do. Father, again, we thank you for the supernatural encouragement from your word. Oh, it's what we need constantly, dear Lord, to be refueled in you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Thank you for all the promises that you've made and the clarity that you've brought to help us understand life and what's really important and how to live and how to think in the midst of all the difficulties and trials that come our way. We cling to thee, Father, but more than that, we're so thankful that you hold on to us and that nothing can separate us from your love. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Maranatha.